now.
Well, hello there. Guess who made it back in time for this week's episode? Yay! Clappy hands. That's me, Tanner. I made it back.
Welcome back.
So anyway, welcome to episode 17 of Cirque du Psyche, Circus of the Mind, where we talk about all sorts of vomitorium that speweth forth from my coconut. I am Tanner, the cosmic space farmer.
Oh my gosh. He's forgotten. It's been so long.
Potato, cosmic potato farmer.
That didn't sound right.
Yeah, I know. Just pretending I'm stupid.
Oh, am just pretending?
Just pretending. And across from me, my button pusher extraordinaire is Monica, the indubitable space fox, who didn't see me for three whole days.
Three and a half. Yeah, that half counted because that was a long half day.
Yeah, it was a long trip.
Yeah.
I drove to... I don't even know what town they live in. Is it North Platte?
No,
it's not quite, because North Platte was like beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Maxine or something like that?
Maxwell. Was it Maxwell? I remember seeing signs.
Something like that.
I don't know. Possibly Maxwell, Nebraska, from South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
The coast of South Carolina.
Yeah.
So I went through, including South Carolina and Nebraska, 9 states.
Mm-hmm.
I got there in about 36 hours, and I drove back in 25.
Yeah.
9 states in 25 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That was rough.
Mm-hmm.
But I did it.
Yeah.
I did it. Most of my traveling was at night. It's made things faster, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And we got some goats.
Yep.
So our Nebraska trip happened. My Nebraska trip happened.
Mm-hmm. He said, I'm never doing that again without somebody else to help drive.
Yeah. I thought I was going to get stranded in Nebraska.
Yeah.
I thought I had a busted brake line, but I still don't know what it is. I got to take my truck to the shop, but made it back. Everything was fine. Did you text Whitney?
Yeah.
Let her know I made it.
Mm-hmm.
Told her to tell Josh.
Yeah.
Anyway, are we still recording?
Yeah.
Just talking over here like we're just.
That's what this is all about.
Yeah, it is. It is, Monica. Anyway, we need to get into it.
Yep.
Forgot how this works. You skipped over something.
Well, you were. Over something. I didn't know if you needed a prompt.
No.
Oh,
first of all.
Hang my head in shame.
Yeah, hang your head in shame. All right, putting the wall up. Give me a second. Make some wall putting up noises like I'm actually putting up a wall. No, we are sponsored by the man, the myth, the legend,
oh my gosh,
Rick Rudd from Ace Basin Excursions.
Yep.
Yeah, and we're super excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
So go check them out, Ace Basin Excursions, for all your gator hunting needs and inshore fishing needs. He'll hook you up.
Yeah.
Let him know where you heard about him.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a promo code or anything, but still let him know.
Yeah.
Be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And don't ask for one. The man's a small business. Give him what he's owed.
And he's really like
angry about it.
His prices are very reasonable.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Compared to other boat captains in our area, they're expensive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But he's good priced.
He is. Go check him out. Ace Basin Excursions.
Yep.
Hey, Rick. Now what?
Now can I do it?
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Yay, small business promotion time.
Oh, my gosh.
Today's small business is one of my favorites. Top three, I'd say. Top three. I'm in there all the time. All the time.
Yeah.
I just talked this morning about how he possibly knows my heart better than my own wife.
Oh, my gosh.
And that is Kyle at KGH Arms.
Yes.
My gun dealer.
Yeah.
Right here in Walterboro.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's awesome. It's a good business. So what is he, 24?
Maybe.
Well, that's pretty young dude. Bought the business from the original owner, Chris. Still works there a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, super, he's a wealth of knowledge for his age.
Yeah.
He's a likable guy. I remember saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just not knowing anything about him. He always looks like he's about to fall asleep because he's constantly doing things.
Mm-hmm.
Stays up late, wakes up early, whatever. But yeah, don't let his age fool you.
Mm.
He's a wealth of gun knowledge, and he'll hook you up whatever you need.
Yeah.
Hooks me up a little too much sometimes, but I'm not complaining.
Yeah. So,
he texted me last night with a gun that I might have to go check out.
Tempting.
Tempting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, he knows me. He knows me how to get me in there. But anyway, so he sells guns, but he also does laser engraving
mm-hmm.
right there in-house, 3D printing.
Yeah.
I don't think he does anything custom. Like, you can't go in there and say, hey, can you 3D, blah, 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 this, that, and the other. But he makes things gun-related, like AR hanger right here behind me in the office. My AR is hanging up there because of AR hanger that he made.
Mm-hmm.
Magazine hangers, things like that.
Yeah.
And I think he's got plans to make some other things, too. But he's also getting into Kydex holsters.
Yeah.
He's in the process of making me one, possibly two Kydex holsters. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go check him out. KGH Arms, right here in Walterboro, South Carolina. I like guns.
Only a little.
Just a little bit.
Just a little.
Guns are bad and clean.
Oh, my gosh. You say that way too many times a week.
Because it's true. Okay, guns are bad.
Okay.
Stay away from them. Give me all your guns. I will dispose of them for you.
Oh, yeah?
Okay, and your ammo also.
Don't just forget so the ammo.
Yeah, just so I know. You don't have anything out there endangering this world.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you... So, the whole gun control argument is that guns are bad. Guns are dangerous.
Yeah.
Okay, what about a hammer?
Mm-hmm.
A belt. You know how many people are killed by a hammer and a belt?
Mm.
What about your fists? More people are killed by hammers, fists, and belts every year than guns.
Mm-hmm.
So, did the hammer get up and go kill somebody by itself?
Did
the belt wrap itself around someone's neck?
No.
Did the gun get up and go kill someone by itself?
No.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right. Because I've been told otherwise, that guns will get up in the middle of the night and go conduct a mass shooting all by itself.
Yep.
But do you remember one night I had an AR out at our old house, and the boys were staying the night with your mom or Jason or somebody, and I'd left the gun leaning up by the safe. It was in our bedroom. And the next day I saw it, and I was like, oh, I gotta mess with this guy. So a guy I used to work with was super liberal. Didn't agree with personal gun ownership, you know, because the cops will save us.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, so I text him and said, oh, man, you'll never guess what happened. He's like, what? And I said, I left one of my ARs outside the safe last night. He said, what happened? Nothing. Nothing happened because it's just a freaking hunk of metal.
Yep.
Anyway, let's not get into that debate. That's for another day. That's not why we are here today, Monica. We're here to talk about the West and how my heart belongs there, but I'm starting to think no more. No more does my heart belong in the West. Why, may you ask, pray tell, all the things?
Yeah, why?
Oh, okay, I didn't think you were going to ask. Didn't think you cared, because the West is dying.
Aw.
It's dying. It's naked, butt naked right now.
Ew.
The West is butt naked.
Poor West.
Yeah. If there was like, if our country was a giant body, you could see the butt from space. It's so naked right now.
Aww.
Is space real? We're not getting that either.
No, we're just not going there.
Just a teaser.
Yeah.
But anyway, oh, it was so sad. I mean, it was pretty, but it's like farm after farm. It's giant, giant industrial agriculture farms, but naked right now.
Mm.
Billions, trillions even. What's bigger than trillions?
Because
that's how many microbes are in the ground. There's more than trillions.
Yeah.
There's trillions on our farm.
Yeah.
Anyway, just naked out there, baking in the sun. Just baking in the sun. It was so sad to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. I'm out. No. But it really was. It was sad. It was sad. I was so excited to drive out there and see all this stuff, and I kind of had a feeling that's how it was going to be.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Corn Belt. Mm-hmm. You know, they feed the world. You know, I can't stand that either. We feed the world, so everybody just eats corn.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, listen to yourself. Mm. Glyphosate, saw another glyphosate sign in Missouri.
Yeah.
Control weeds, not farmers. But if you get rid of glyphosate, the farmers will be controlled.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's quite the opposite because they're controlled financially through the use of glyphosate.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Anyway, on a happier note, is there a happier note? Is there? I think there is. And I have a little YouTube short I'm going to try to play. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I'm all over the place right now.
Yeah, you are.
So anyway, let me set this up a little bit better here. I'm doing a bad job. So I went out. So drove through the West, through the so-called Corn Belt, and other big farming areas. Missouri. Well, where all did I go? Arkansas, Missouri, Iowa, Nebraska. Was like the main Western states that I went to. Midwest, I guess you could say. Midwest, West. Didn't go through Kansas. Took a different route because I didn't want to go through St. Louis. So I took a little more southerly route through Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi. And I was in Tennessee for like 19 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then went right into Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Arkansas. So Arkansas was cool. So out of all the states out there, I've always thought and pictured myself living like on a prairie type of area. You mm-hmm. know, there's like strips of trees and there's like, it's rocky boulder faces, you know, like you see in Westerns, and got these rolling prairies. It's just dirt.
Mm-hmm.
It's so not cool. It's like, I can't picture myself living out there right now.
Yeah.
And it's just open and dirt. It'd be different if there was, you know, wavy grass growing and cattle's grazing. I've hardly saw any cattle grazing. In like five states.
Yeah.
I hardly saw any cattle. There's more cattle in South Carolina, in Colleton County, where we live. It's Colleton County is what, the second biggest county in South Carolina?
I don't know.
There's more cattle in Colleton County than there is in the entire West right now.
Jeez.
That I saw.
Yeah.
But anyway. So I was surprised because I was thinking, like, you know, I didn't go to Wyoming or anything like that. I still like to see that area, like True West, you know, Big Sky. Mm-hmm. Montana, Wyoming, the Dakotas, and things like that. But, you know, I went through the big industrial agricultural areas, I guess, and I wasn't impressed. I was mm-hmm. kind of like, I can't really see myself living here. Now, Arkansas was cool.
Yeah.
Like Western Arkansas, right? Because it was kind of mountainous. There was more trees. It was wooded. It was nice. It was green.
Mm-hmm.
Saw green grass everywhere. But I still didn't see that many cows.
Yeah.
But then again, yeah, I didn't see the whole state, so.
Hmm. Weird.
And eastern Arkansas was completely flooded.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
Hmm.
Wonder why. Should I tell the people or should I tell them to look into?
Look into it.
Possibly why.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll circle back around and give my opinion on that. I'm getting closer to the mic. I'm practicing for NPR. Okay. So anyway, so meanwhile, America is feeding the world, but how are we feeding the world? Like literally, how are we feeding the world? Because I didn't see any meat out there.
Yeah.
I mean, they're probably packed in CAFOs somewhere with, you know, diabetic meat,
mm-hmm.
cancer meat. But it's just corn. Growing big giant things of corn and soy. Anyway, so my take on it is we're not doing it right.
Yeah.
And I knew it already. I had to see it for myself, I guess. But meanwhile, the rest of the world, so America is a land of the free, right?
Mm-hmm.
No. We're not free anymore. Name one thing that's not regulated.
I can't.
You can't?
No.
Why? I thought we were free. We're so free.
You got to pay to be free.
Oh, do you? The land of the pay to be free?
Yep.
Sounds about right. But anyway, so meanwhile, other countries are killing it right now because they understand, these other countries understand, we don't have to feed the world. And Will Harris said this. He said that how did he say it? Said it in one of his videos. He's he's strange in the sense that he's one of the good old boys that used to farm industrially. Mm-hmm. So he's still friends with all the other guys around him that still farm industrially. And, you know, when he talks to them about his way of farming, they said, well, you know, Will, that's great, but you can't feed the world that way. You know, he tells them, I don't know. I'm supposed to feed the world. I think I'm just supposed to feed my community.
Yeah.
And I can't say it no better than that. That's why he's Will freaking Harris, mm-hmm. right? Because he gets it. It's not about feeding the world. It's about feeding your community. That's why we talk about standing up local food communities. Mm-hmm. Support your own community. Why are we so worried about, you know, quote unquote, the world, mm-hmm. right? There's nothing wrong with helping, but you got to get your house in order, your community in order first.
Yeah.
So these other countries, small countries, understand that, I think, way better than we do. And I want to play a little YouTube show. Are you playing footsies with me right now? Is that your foot?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if that was like a
cat or something.
No, cat's not in here.
Okay. So anyway, I'm going to try to play this off my phone. And it's pretty impressive. I saw this last night and I saved it. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Hold on.
Look at the brains of Thai farmers. These people are earning millions of dollars by growing chilies along with corn. When the corn plants grow tall, they plant small chili plants in the shade underneath. This way, both crops grow faster and are ready together. Then, farmers harvest the corn and tie the chili plants to the corn stalks, preventing them from falling to the ground. As a result, the chili yield is excellent. Later, these chilies are harvested using machines and sold in markets, making the farmers millions.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot going on there. But so basically, it's the Three Sisters principle.
Mm-hmm.
Native Americans, right?
Yep.
So was it corn, beans? Was it squash?
Squash.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So basically, it was a stalk vegetable, kind of like a tree almost.
Mm-hmm.
And then the beans grow up that, and then the squash grows out and helps control weeds.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, I don't know where the Indians got their Roundup. Well, I can't even say that word.
Glyphosate?
Yeah, glyphosate.
I can say it better than you.
Glyphosate. Where do Indians get theirs at?
Yeah.
No. Right? So basically, that's what's going on here. This is Thailand or China, one of the two. And so they're growing corn. When it gets tall enough, they plant peppers underneath in between the plants.
Mm-hmm.
That helps control the weeds, but they're also growing two different types of crops.
Yeah.
And they use the corn to help shade the peppers, and then later on, the peppers grow up the corn stalks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so smart.
Yeah.
So smart. Why aren't we doing things like that? Why don't we take these giant cornfields and grow, you know, peas or beans with the corn?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Grow something between the rows with the corn and the peas.
Mm-hmm.
Squash. Why can't we have big, giant Three Sisters farms?
Mm.
Oh. It's all about controlling the weeds, remember?
Yeah.
Control the weeds, not the farmers. We need that Roundup. We need that glyphosate. Ugh. Anyway. Good job, Thailand/China. I didn't think I'd ever say that before.
Yeah.
but there's so many people around the world doing these things right. Why aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't we?
Hmm.
I don't know. We went right into all kind of crazy stuff. What news you have over there? Because I didn't even think about it. I haven't slept much in the last 3 days.
No.
Anyway.
No, I don't know. Been working at the community garden, getting that going. I went out to it Saturday while you were gone.
Yeah.
And me and the boys went out there and did some work, and Dana and my parents stopped by. They were coming through town and they stopped by, and my dad helped a little bit, helped fill beds and stuff. And so we're still trying to get everything ready. Most of the beds are being either rented or sponsored, and we're just trying to get
along.
Yeah, we're moving along, and we are way further ahead than I thought we were going to be.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited that
we've
got a goal. Yeah, like an end goal.
Ag and art and ag, whatever. Yeah,
so that's a little over a month away, and we're just trying to come to a stopping point to where everything.
It's like going to be like your first phase, and it's also going to be the grand opening.
Grand opening with the ribbon and everything.
Ribbon cutting and everything.
Oh, my gosh. My anxiety level just spikes.
I'm excited for it. I hope they let me cut the ribbon. They're not going to.
No, it's going to be like...
It's going to be...
The mayor.
Yeah.
Yeah, or Dana. Dana should be able to do it.
Speech.
Yeah.
This one is this first time I've ever even been back here, but I'm going to act like I care.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, we're just trying to get that done and up and running, and we got a bunch of stuff planted already, and we're having some donations coming in for as far as like benches, and we got a totem pole coming in.
A trellis. Got a whole trellis donated today.
That thing was massive.
Yeah, so we're not gonna have to build one now.
Yeah.
We're just gonna have to pop it right in where we want it. And it's actually a perfect size.
Yeah, it is.
Might be a little tall.
It is a little tall, but we're going to have grapes on it. And I mean, if we need to get a ladder out there to pick grapes one day, I think it'll be all right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Me and the boys, we survived without Tanner, and it was not fun, but I think Amir made it worse on everybody, but he was just...
I'm so glad he didn't go with me.
He acted out a little bit more. And
He has like a legit separation anxiety from me.
But he got hurt one day. I don't know what day it was, but he broke down. He got hurt. He thought he had another scratch on his eye, and he lost it. He's like, "Why is it Daddy here for me?" I was like, oh my gosh. He broke my heart.
I'm a terrible
because
father.
I couldn't help him because Daddy wasn't here.
Jeez.
But yeah, we made it. Everybody's good.
He would have been miserable.
He would have been miserable.
Just because I pushed hard to get out there and back. And he'd have been in that seat for days.
Mm-hmm.
Days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost got stranded. Did I already talk about that?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. On the podcast here? Did I mention that?
Yeah.
Did I?
Holy cow.
I told you, I haven't slept much. I'm starting to get tired again. I slept good last night, but it's just like my body has not recovered.
Yeah.
I mean,
Yep.
I complaining a lot because of industrial, agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I'm not going to give them a break. Mm-hmm. That's just all there is to it. Because industrial agriculture is single-handedly responsible for climate change. If you want to talk about climate change, that's where it's coming from.
Yeah.
And guess who owns most of those farms?
Mm.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Look into that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's not just that they're spraying poisons on there and feeding it to people and causing cancer, and now the government's protecting them from that, but they're just literally destroying the earth.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm going to get fired up again.
Mm-hmm.
Fired up. But it was a cool trip. It really was. I've never driven out that way, and it was cool. Traffic is actually very efficient out there.
Yeah.
The farther west I went, the more I enjoyed driving with other people.
Mm.
It's so efficient.
Mm.
Everybody's like respectful. There was no competition. Yeah, it was good.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's that.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
South Carolina has the worst roads that I've ever driven on myself.
Yeah.
Like, I've driven around the world. Mm-hmm. Other than, Iraq and stuff, which, I mean, it's a war zone.
Mm-hmm.
But South Carolina has the worst roads that I personally have ever driven on.
Yeah. So you think we have the worst drivers on our roads also?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, driving on 95 or 26, that's our two biggest interstates.
People are literally trying to kill you.
Yeah.
Like, they're trying to get a body count on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
And I was telling Monica this morning, it's like there's state laws in these other states, left lane only for passing, which that's supposed to be known anyway.
Yeah.
And in South Carolina, it's just, I'm driving 2 miles faster than you, so I'm going to hold the left lane. And if you want to get past them, you get up behind them, they don't want to get over. It's a comp. They turn it into a competition. Why? Mm-hmm. We all got somewhere to be.
Yeah.
Get out the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's all there is to it. Put your freaking ego aside and get out the way. Out there, it wasn't like that. Everybody stayed in the right lane. And if you caught up with somebody, you pass them. And so I was pulling a stock trailer, and I never did over like 70 miles an hour the whole time, unless I was passing somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And so say I was doing like 72, 73. I'm making progress. Someone comes up behind me. They see, okay, he's passing his truck.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they did?
Hmm.
They gave me space and waited.
Yeah.
I got back over, and they went around me. And then they got over.
Hmm.
Like, holy crap. People do know how to drive in other places. I was impressed.
South Carolina.
Yeah, well, do better.
Well, like, look at how many places or cars that we see with different tags. They come from Florida, Georgia.
That's something else I saw out there was most of the people were from that state.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, you know, people, there's obviously, there was a good bit of other tags and stuff, but most of the traffic I saw in those states were natives. They were from that state. But a good 50 to 60% of the traffic from, like, Arkansas to Nebraska was 18-wheelers.
Yeah.
I guess it's like a big, massive transport route.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no problems.
Yeah.
Here in South Carolina, the truckers are trying to kill you, too.
Yeah.
It's bad. Mm. Like, it's like, do better, South Carolina. Oh, man. One day when I'm mayor, I'll square it away.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dana told me today, he's like, if you want to run for mayor, you got to live in the city. I would consider that.
Oh, because
at the time, I could probably afford two houses then. I had me a little place out in the country and just have an in a city address.
You know, I love, 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 love those old houses down like the main...
The downtown district.
Downtown area. Yeah. I love those houses so much.
They're just so close together, though.
Well, they're not even that close. Like, not like new neighborhoods. Yeah, not like
a suburb. But.
They're so, like, depending on how close they are to, like, the main roads and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, having good neighbors. I could maybe do that. But like you said, I'd still want to be able to...
Yeah, you can have a place and go out in the country. Out. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you got to think, it's like Pastor Mike's neighborhood, our old pastor, lived in a gated community.
Mm-hmm.
You live in there, you got money.
Mm, yeah.
You're not causing problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's the same thing. He's all historic. There's no HOAs, no gated communities, but your neighbor is living in a 250-year-old house. They got some money.
Yeah.
They're not trying to act up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That stupid... I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. It's nice. And Walter World's pretty quiet at night.
Yeah, so. It is.
What are you about to say?
So I'm going to go ahead and do my garden tip.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Working on my DJ Shuck voice. I'm going to be. I didn't tell you I got a job at a radio station?
Oh, shut up.
No?
No.
All right.
Anyway.
It might may or may not be true.
No.
I'm a little delirious.
Anyway, garden tip. My garden tip for the week is plant something that's going to attract pollinators, bees, birds, all those things. And also...
Butterflies.
Yeah, butterflies. But also, put up a birdhouse.
Yes. Not purple martin houses.
Like bluebird houses or like the chickadee type houses.
Yeah.
Because they eat bugs.
Well, a bluebird will murder
mosquitoes,
like thousands of mosquitoes a day.
Yeah.
That's their main food source.
Yeah.
I mean, like grasshoppers and stuff, but they're little birds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we bought a bunch from First Thursday.
That's who I was going to. We kind of had a struggle for the small business. I was going to promote hers. We need to do that next week.
Yeah.
Remember that.
Anyway. I don't have a card in front of me either.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got nine birdhouses.
Nine, yeah.
And she painted them. Like some of them look like they have like...
They built them too.
Yeah, she built them, painted them. Some of them have like honeycomb and bees. Like
gardeny, springy themes.
Yeah. Super cute.
And one of them is like plain white. So you can paint it yourself if you want or leave it. My favorite is the one that's stained.
Yeah, stained wood.
Old pallet wood. Yeah. She sanded it down and stained it. It just looks really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll promote her next week.
Yep.
Because we'll be definitely buying some more from her.
Yeah.
Trying to saturate the farm with birdhouses.
Mm-hmm.
Give them somewhere to live so they're not coming, you know, having to fly to the farm to eat the bugs. They can wake up and eat the bugs.
Feed their babies.
Feed their babies.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing with the T-posts and the little caps.
Oh, yeah.
Jumping spiders.
Yeah, we're going to try an experiment this year. And so we have bowl jumpers. It's my personal favorite spider. I think yours, too.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've ever seen one, it's going to be your favorite spider. It looks like you can give them a hug.
I mean, mean, probably, yeah, if they would let you.
Yeah, they're jumping spiders, and the biggest one I've ever seen gets about the size of a nickel.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's pretty beefy. Mm-hmm. And that was underneath one of the bee houses the other day when I was throwing my beehives away because they all got murdered.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they like to nest in like tight areas. And what we found out was when we move our energizers off of the T-post, they like to go under almost every time there's one in there. Mm-hmm. And you feel bad because you take it off, you ripped your web, and they usually fall to the ground and run off. But they're amazing spiders. They're efficient insect killing machines. Mm-hmm. And they're beautiful.
Yeah.
They're solid black. Their little fangs are blue, like mm-hmm. teal blue. And they have either like a red, white, or gold spot on her abdomen.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because sometimes they're like a heart. Mm-hmm. And they're red only when they're a heart. And sometimes the white is like a diamond. Mm-hmm. And then the gold, every time I've seen the gold, it's like a circle.
Yeah.
But anyway, they're beautiful spiders. But we're going to try to experiment this year with T-post. We're going to drive T-post strategically around the garden. And we're going to put the little rubber caps on there because they like to go up underneath that. So we're going to make a bull jumper garden farm zoo. But we're going to do that to attract the bull jumpers.
Yeah.
So that goes along with, don't just think about pollinators. Pollinators are great, but think mm-hmm. about the things, the beneficial insects that will eat the not beneficial insects. Mm-hmm. And don't be scared of spiders.
Yeah.
Spiders are amazing creatures.
Yeah.
They leave you alone if you leave them alone. Give them their space. Give them something to eat, and you will really come to love spiders.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were talking about birdhouses. Something else that I just discovered that we're going to do is build a simple T structure about 6 or 8 feet tall, just like a wooden pole or something, mm-hmm. or like 2x4s or whatever, sticks, and make a little T, like a perch. Mm-hmm. And birds will use it because they like to sit up high, like to perch over your garden, and they look for bugs to eat.
Yeah.
And so they use that perch, and while they're sitting there looking for bugs, guess what they're doing?
Pooping.
They're pooping.
They're pooping.
So while they're sitting there, they're pooping and feeding your garden.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Could we do that with those tobacco skits?
Oh, yeah.
Tobacco skits.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
Yeah. But yeah, see, there's ways to do everything without chemicals, man.
Yeah.
It really is.
Jeez.
The more I think about it, man, it's so sad. Like, we are single-handedly responsible for killing the earth.
Yeah.
We as a people, not me.
Because we're doing it, right?
We are. We're trying to. I mean, we are. We're not trying.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't stand that mindset. Well, I'm going to spray this year, but I won't spray next year.
Yeah.
What? No, because that tells me next year you're going to have an excuse, and you say, well, I'll do it next year.
Yeah.
A year after that. No. Just quit. Just stop it. You're not doing it right.
Gonna wean my
fields
off of it.
I'll spray fertilizer this year and I'll wean it off next year. You can't wean the soil off of fertilizer. So what am I missing from a trip? I mean, it's kind of uneventful.
Yeah.
So I got out there, I took a milk cow, 3 pigs. It went well. The cow was done.
Yeah.
So I drove about 12 hours?
12, 13.
And I stayed in Arkansas, Russellville, which is a really cool little town. I liked it. And so that was about halfway.
Yeah.
About halfway, maybe a little over halfway. And it was monsooning. So I had to stop. It was getting dangerous. So I stopped, got a hotel about what?
It was almost lunchtime.
About lunchtime. And I only stayed there till 10 o'clock that night. Mm-hmm. Got about 5 hours of sleep. Mm-hmm. Got up and hit the road at 10 o'clock that night. Got going. Drove about 13 hours the next day straight through.
Yeah.
Got to my destination. Dropped off the cow and the pigs and picked up the goats.
Yeah.
Was there about 20 minutes and left. Drove about 3 hours to York, Nebraska.
Yeah.
And it was, What time did I get there, you think? About 4.
I don't know, 3 or 4.
Something like that. And so I stayed the night there, like, legit, like, relaxed much as I could.
That was when your truck was acting.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, go out there to get batteries because my trailer lights didn't work. My running lights, my brakes, and my blinkers were. I had no running lights.
Yeah.
So I found these magnetic LED red lights that took batteries. So I had to. I went through so many batteries. So when I stopped, I went to. There's a Walmart across the street. So I walked over there to get it, and that's when I saw something leaking under my truck.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I had that on my mind, but I was so exhausted. When I finally got showered, and laid down to bed, got something to eat, I was out.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a clock set for 6, and I barely woke up, barely heard my clock. So, I mean, I could have kept sleeping. Got up and hit the road, got going right at about 7 after I got coffee, got cleaned up, got everything packed up, checked on the goats, checked on the truck, and I went ahead and fueled up right next to the hotel before I hit the interstate. So it was right about 7.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was Monday morning.
Yeah.
At 7 o'clock Monday morning from York, Arkansas, or Nebraska, and got home yesterday morning at 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Not quite 9.
Yeah. Included a time change. So it was 25 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Like almost to the minute, 25 hours.
Yeah.
9 states.
Yeah.
So I got back to Russellville. That was my waypoint, my halfway. So I stopped in Russellville, got something to eat. Because there's an amazing restaurant called Old South Restaurant. So good.
Yeah.
And the people there, everybody I talked to like out west, Midwest, were just so nice.
Hmm.
I wonder if that's just the business. I didn't really talk to, you know, quote unquote, normal people, you know, everyday people. But anyway, and it was about 4 or 5. So I thought about staying the night in the hotel again right there. I was like, nah, I'm awake. Still got daylight. So I decided to hit the road. Keep going.
Yeah.
And I kept going.
And going.
And going. I had to get gas every 300 miles.
Yeah.
So it's pretty frequent stops.
Yeah.
You know, for the most part. So stop, get gas, pee, get coffee. That's pretty much my routine.
Yeah.
Well, literally that order. Get gas, pee, get coffee, leave.
Yeah. When you called me, or the last time I talked to you Monday night, it was 10 my time, and you were, where were you?
I was in Missouri still, I think.
Yeah. And you had said you were stopping for gas.
I was going to sleep in a truck a couple hours. You were
going to sleep in the truck for a little bit. Last time I heard, I woke up. Because Aoife woke me up early Tuesday morning, like 4 or something. And I checked your location, and you were...
At that point, I was in...
You were coming
Mississippi?
Into, no, I think you not were yet. Georgia,
Alabama. No, it was Alabama.
Was it?
I think so.
No, you had to have been closer, because it was...
No, it was like, I wasn't quite to Georgia yet, I don't think. Was I?
I think so. You had already gone through Atlanta.
Oh, yeah. So I was on the other side of Atlanta.
Yeah, you only had like 4 or 5 hours left.
Cruising.
Yeah. And I was like, holy crap. And so I called you. I was like, are you good?
Yeah, bro, I've been sleeping. I got a truck on cruise control. That's how it works, right?
No. So I talked to him.
I hired this guy in Atlanta to keep driving. I was like, bro, I'm going to sleep here. I'll give you $20 if you drive me home.
Ew, no.
He's like, yeah, sure, partner.
Oh, gosh.
You look like a trustworthy fella.
No.
Is it anyway. Nice and dry under this bridge?
Oh, tan.
Anyway.
Yeah, so we talked for a few hours. I wanted to make sure you're good. Yeah. But the thing was, so I got off the phone with you. You're like less than 30 minutes away, and I was trying to get ready for the morning.
Yeah.
And you said that was the last, or that was the worst part.
Yeah, the closer you get to home, it's just, that's my body. It's your mental game, like I was saying this morning.
Yeah.
I have a very strong mental fortitude.
Mm.
And once I set my mind to something, that's why I can't relax. Like when I was in Russellville,
mm-hmm.
most people would have been like, yeah, it's going to be dark in a few hours. I'm going to go ahead and relax. Goats are good. Get something to eat. And I'm going to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but no, my mind told me you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And once I flipped that switch, there's no turning it off.
Yeah.
And then, but it's like about when I got into Black Creek, you know, heading that way, I was sucking.
Yeah.
I was sucking. Mm. Yeah. It's like the closer you get to home, you're just like sort of bobbing, sort of weaving. Hit every pothole. Oh, that wasn't hard to do because South Carolina's got many potholes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But he made it.
I did. Memphis, your roads are terrible also.
Yeah.
That's the only town, that's pretty much the only place I went through Tennessee was Memphis. It was like the very corner.
Yeah.
From Arkansas, Tennessee into Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And Memphis's roads are terrible. Mm. I thought I lost one of my little magnet lights. But I think that's what killed it. Mm. It was working fine until then. Then all of a sudden it wouldn't stay on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. But it was a good trip. I made it there. Made it back.
Yep.
The poor goats.
Yeah.
They were done. They
have PTSD still. Yeah,
they were done. If I ever put them in a trailer again, they might just die.
Gosh.
Of fear. Jeez. Oh, yeah, but they made it. They're all alive. Yeah. Supposedly all pregnant, possibly. Mm-hmm. And by the numbers, another month and a half, they should be dropping babies, possibly.
I think so.
Something like that. So we'll see. We got six girls and a little male called Pickle. He's got crazy eyes.
He's got the biggest bug eyes ever.
Yeah.
Even when he blinks,
he's like, he's got to suck them in first. Like, and then he blinks and they pop back out.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so far he's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think it's funny because we had two Nigerians and they sucked. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know anything about goats.
Yeah.
And neither did you. Mm-mm. And we got two Nigerians thinking that, okay, that'd be cool. We can train them to eat. No, they wanted to be pets.
Yeah.
I mean, it was terrible.
Yeah.
They just yelled and yelled all day and they can have food and they wouldn't eat it unless you brought it to them. It's like they had to be hand fed. They were sickening. Mm-hmm. So that was my experience with Nigerian dwarf goats. Like, they're just needy jerks.
Yeah.
So we got seven of them so far. They're pretty chill. Mm-hmm. And that's what we got from Lanessa's mom. Mm-hmm. And that's what she raises. She had a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And they're all, you know, they work with them. They milk them and everything. And so these guys are pretty chill. They're not jerky so far. So I'm wondering how they're going to settle in once we get them out of the pastures and things.
Yeah.
Man, I'm dying over here. But, yeah. So, I kind of like them.
Yeah.
They're just little.
Yeah, I think that's cool. Little.
I think that's cool because Tukey, when he was out there strutting around, he was big.
Yeah. He was scary.
And when he came at you, he could hurt you. He did hurt us.
Yeah.
And this little guy here, I'm just kind of like, I want him to ram me. Just like, oh, that's adorable.
That tickle.
Yeah. Tickle. Oh, pickle tickle. Oh, that doesn't work. Did I tell you I'm getting a job as a shock DJ? Working on my stupidity.
Jeez.
Oh man. Anyway.
Wow.
Pickle. I didn't ask her why she named him that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Her other one's name was Bullseye. He's like the goats out there that's got the three or four colors in them, real pretty ones. Mm-hmm. That's what he looked like.
Oh, wow.
But he's the one that bred all the girls.
Oh.
So I'm glad that we got a different buck.
Yeah.
And he can breed them, you know, so we'll have a whole nother cycle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway.
I wonder what those new babies are going to look like.
I don't know.
Especially those
speckly colors.
Yeah.
It's really pretty.
Yeah.
Like some of them have the blue eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the cream color, if they're going to have different colored babies or
yeah,
if we're going to have more light colored babies. Yeah, yeah. We have a lot.
Yeah.
Well, they're never going to be with our other goats.
No.
So, but still, like, we have a lot of cream color, white, but.
Yeah, because Tukey was white.
Like solid silver. White,
silvery.
Yeah.
But Pickle is black, mm-hmm. solid black. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, because Tukey's genetics, he was all white, and a lot of his babies were pure white.
Yeah.
With lighter colored goats. Mm-hmm. The darker, like the blacker goats, like we have one that's the one down there now. No, because she's black.
Yeah, she's solid. Black and she's
yeah, baby's her baby's white. Solid white, because the other ones were throwing like darker colored babies.
Yeah.
And then Molly, she's black and white with the white white but with black spots. Really cool looking. Mm-hmm. But then you got Susan. She's brown. Solid brown. Where? So it's kind of, you can't really predict it. It's weird.
Yeah, that
it's
is.
Really weird. Mm. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, who knows? Goats are weird. Really, your goats are really weird. Oh, man. So.
Now what? What else you got over there? This got notes?
I thought it'd be a little bit more interesting talking about my trip, but it really, I mean, it was just me driving.
Yeah.
Nothing crazy happened. I saw a prairie dog village.
Yeah.
That was it seems like such a nightmare to deal with, like if I had a farm or a ranch to deal with these things, but it was so cool. I was driving about an hour from Lanessa's mom's house back on the high, and it's literally just straight in Nebraska, straight road. Yeah. And, I look over and I see a prairie dog, like literally right on the side of the road, and he's peeking up at traffic. I was like, look at a little prairie dog. And I look, and there was a prairie dog mound, and there was one popping out of the hole.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, look at that. And I got looking, there's hundreds of them running all over the place, in and out of the ground, popping up.
Jeez.
They're on the side of the road. Everything. It was really cool. Mm-hmm. I'd never seen one before. You hear about them, prairie dog villages. It's literally like a village. Mm-hmm. They remind me of meerkats.
Oh, yeah.
And just like that, but American version, I guess.
Yeah.
What is that? Excuse me here. Oh.
Stop touching it.
Oh, what that was. Anyway.
Yeah.
Schmutz.
Schmutz. He's spitting over there in your microphone.
It might have been because I don't see it. Mouth is kind of dry. Yeah, very dehydrated still.
Yeah, he didn't drink much water.
Yeah, I had to give all my water to the goats.
You didn't have to. It was easier for you.
Yeah, I was tired. I was done. But yeah, that was cool, man. But like other things like that, I didn't really see many interesting things. Mm-hmm. There was our beekeeping guy that we like to order things from. I drove within a few miles of his house, saw a sign.
Was it Central Beekeeping?
Central Beekeeping Supplies. Mm-hmm. I saw a sign. He's in
is that Missouri? Arkansas.
No, I thought he was in Missouri. Oh. I saw that sign in Arkansas, I believe. Mm. Like close to Missouri, I think. Anyway. But yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of interesting things. I did a lot of driving at night.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to see much. Hmm. But coming into Arkansas is so pretty. Hmm. It's like you're in the mountains, but not like real, real high mountains. But it's like the red slate rocks that it blasted through to make the roads and stuff. It was really pretty. And then like the eastern, like the mid to western Arkansas was probably my favorite. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was nice looking. Hmm. But eastern Arkansas is flooded underwater.
Yeah.
And then so I drove through Friday. I think it caught the tail end of that rainstorm.
Yeah, you did.
And it was just absolutely flooded.
Yeah.
I mean, it was terrible. And it was almost like another storm that flooded an area. Mm. Right? We all know what that is?
Mm.
Huh.
Mm.
Huh. Anyway, so that's why I stopped. I mean, it was bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so bad.
Well, didn't you say there was tornado warning?
Yeah, tornado warnings.
Yeah.
I saw a big giant dust devil.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah, it was huge. It looked like an actual baby tornado.
Oh my gosh.
Like going through the pasture. Wasn't a pasture, it was a dirt field.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, look at that, dust devil. Hmm. And I didn't want to look at it too long because it might see me and come after me.
Gosh.
But yeah, that was cool. Anyway, so I'm driving through that part of Arkansas and it's getting dark. And so I stop at a gas station. And it was the one where I hung up with you to go get gas. And I talked to the soccer mom.
Oh,
yeah. So yeah. I'm getting gas and I'm almost into Mississippi, like real far western or eastern Arkansas, I think. Maybe I had another hour to go or so.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I don't know. Anyway, I'm backwards.
Yeah. So anyway, this is coming home.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, man, that's like it just didn't look like they get flooding like that. Because this was like farms. It looked like lakes with farming equipment sitting in it.
Yeah.
There was businesses flooded. There was a Sonic flooded almost to the bottom of the little signs you park next to. Mm-hmm. It was almost to the bottom of those.
Jeez.
Yeah. So there was businesses shut down, flooding and stuff. I was like, this is crazy. So I'm getting gas. This woman pulls up next to me. And I asked her. I kind of peeked at her plates and she was Arkansas. So I was like, hey, excuse me, you live here? She's like, yeah. I was like, why is it flooded? And she's like, oh, it rained for like 5 to 7 days straight, jeez, like complete downpour. I was like, geez. I was like, so is that normal for here? She's like, no, we never get hardly any rain in this area. This is a dry area. Mm. I'm like, interesting. Mm. And so she's talking about all the farmers who are not going to be able to plant. They're just out this year. Like it's over for them.
Yeah.
Their farm's ruined. So she goes on about her business. I get a notification on the phone. The pimp daddy of permaculture. Who was that?
Billy Bond.
Billy Bond put up a video, right? Mm-hmm. And so obviously I couldn't watch it. So after he posted it in a podcast form, I listened to it. Well, guess what he talked about?
Arkansas flooding.
Arkansas flooding because somebody in the form of our government has found lithium deposits in that area. And all of a sudden, a place that never gets rain is under feet of water. How does that happen?
Mm.
How does that happen? And I didn't see one chemtrail Monday morning all the way to South Carolina.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of Helene when they talked about, Dane Wigington talked about how when they do something like that, screw people's lives up with weather, clear blue skies.
Yeah.
Huh.
So
right,
we got the
right editor playbook.
Yeah. So we got that same rain. It took a few days to get to us. So it rained here Monday before, or no, Monday? Sunday.
I don't remember. Days
I don't know.
Flood together. Flood.
No. Yeah, it was Monday because you were driving home Monday.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it was. My days are so messed up because of all this. But Monday afternoon, evening, we got that rain, and we haven't had any spraying since then.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
But we're conspiracy theorists, so don't pay attention to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're crazy.
Yeah, we are. Totally. So this got me thinking. Mm-hmm. Got me thinking about a bunch of things while I was driving because I couldn't talk, so I had to think. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of thinking, even when I'm talking. Sometimes I talk and think at the same times.
I'm confused already.
You should be. So I was thinking about culture, agriculture, monoculture, permaculture, culture. I'm like, that's a pretty important word. So this is not the word of the day. Culture is not the word of the day.
Oh.
I got, yeah. So culture, we're going to define, because this goes into a thought I had. So culture is defined as the arts, beliefs, customs, institutions, and other products of human work and thought considered as a unit, especially with regard to a particular time or social group, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's just do one more here. The set of predominating attitudes and behavior that characterize a group or organization. So your culture defines, you know, who you are, what you do, why you do things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I got to think about that. And I made some notes this morning. So you think about these big farms, right? Oh, hello. Dropped me telephone. So you think about these big farms. And when people first get into space, they get into permaculture especially. Because permaculture can attract some pretty radical people, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And so they start to think, well, I'm going to go to that farmer over there and tell him he's doing it wrong. Yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
Go to a fourth or fifth generation farmer and tell him he's doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We think he's going to do, oh, my bad.
Mm-hmm.
And just show me how to do it right. No, he's never going to change his mind if you approach him that way. Never. Right?
Yeah.
So what do we do? Is there hope? I got to think about this. It's not about changing these farmers. It's about changing the culture, the culture itself, because that our culture right now is defining how we do all this, and it's not very good. It may be our culture. It doesn't mean it's good.
Yeah.
People always say, well, it's just our culture. You know, that's their culture. That's why they do it that way.
Hmm.
Okay. Okay. So you're telling me that can never change?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand because the culture 100 years ago was a lot different, and it worked just fine, right? And then so the powers that are in charge right now, they understand this. So they've changed their culture subversively. Yeah. They subversively instituted changes very slowly to change the culture for the worse. And why did they do that? So they can say, oh, well, things are looking bad. We can help.
Yeah.
I'm from the government, and I'm here to help. Didn't a president say that's the worst thing you can ever hear? I think it was like Nixon or somebody. Anyway, and he was right. Yeah. But so this is like our new normal, right? So it's not about, I got to think, it's not about changing these farms and stuff as much as I would love to go to a farm and say, hey, there's a better way. I mean, look at Will Harris's cousin, surrounded by, you know, a paradise, and he refuses us to do it that way.
Yeah.
Right? You're just not going to change these people's mind. We have to change the culture. And where does that start? What do we keep saying?
In the community.
In your local communities. Teach this locally, and then it will spread globally.
Ooh.
Yeah. Think globally, act locally. I used to hate hearing that because it sounds like such a hippie liberal thing, right?
Yeah.
But I've discovered recently that there are real hippies that we should all be working for. Or not for. Oh, geez. With. So, and that's, there's a whole class of people that's been demonized. Oh, they're hippies. Okay, there are bad hippies. The smelly ones that don't want to work. Those are the bad hippies that think that, oh, I should just lay here in the sun all day and someone should bring me something to eat. No. The real hippies are the ones that want to get out there and get their hands dirty. They think a little radically. They wear, you know, old clothes. They wear, you know, art, you know. And real hippies wear deodorant. Because I wear deodorant, and I can kind of consider myself a little bit hippie, real hippie. Right? But I don't, you know, anyway, they're awake to the nefarious things of this world.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that tying things like that saying to hippies, have we created a bad culture? See that? See how that works?
Yeah.
See? Eh? Anyway, getting off track here.
Always.
Yeah, always. So anyway, so it's not about changing people per se, like a person. Change the culture that surrounds them. Okay, if we spread this type of farming to other communities and small homesteads and things, and we surround these big farms with this kind, that eventually will change those farms. That's how you change these farms. You're not going to change it by approaching them and fighting with them. Because if you start fighting with somebody, when you get into a fight, what do? You protect yourself. You protect what you have, your way of life, your way of doing things, right?
Yeah.
So if you attack them and try to fight them, they're going to protect, you know, their way of life with everything they got. They're not going to want to change because they're going to think you're a jerk, right? So it's all about changing the culture at hand, right? Does that make sense?
Yep.
It's right there in everything. Agriculture, permaculture, everything. Horticulture.
Yeah.
You know, pick it, right? So, and this takes me into something else. It's like, so we've been told what our culture is. You get up every day and you look at social media, you look at the news, you know, most people do, let's be honest, that's the wrong thing to do. Get up and look at your phone and get your news from social media and the big news sources. You're told by these people what your culture is. You're put into a cultural box. Okay, you're black, this is your culture. You're white, this is your culture. You're Mexican, you're Asian, whatever. You're told it's your culture. Why can't we all just be one? And I'm not promoting globalism.
Yeah.
Do not get me wrong. I am not promoting globalism. We can all have our own cultures separately, but still work together.
Yeah.
We don't need a global government telling us what our culture is, what our global culture is. We do not need that. We need to have, you know, community cultures. Each community can have its own culture.
Yeah.
But let's do it right. Let's do it the right way. You know what I'm saying? So that's how we change these things. So that leads me to think people aren't, they aren't thinking for themselves anymore. You're told how to think, right? So we have the same thought process as so-called smart people. But they want you to think, oh, I think a different way than you. No, you don't.
Yeah.
Your synapses are firing the same way mine do. Right? I have thoughts. Just because, in the way it is I don't have a pedigree. But so you can't think big like I do. Actually, I think I probably think bigger than you because I'm not controlled and you know, subjugated to your so-called pedigree. These people only think within that pedigree. they're not allowed to think outside of it because then they'll be demonized by their community and their culture that they've subjugated themselves to through this pedigree. They're not allowed to think outside of that. But then they make everybody think, well, because I have this, I'm a big thinker. Mm-hmm. And you need, this is why I'm telling you how to live, right? So where was... think about the old, the people way back, the innovative things, Leonardo da Vinci, right? He was a genius.
Yeah.
Where was his degrees? Right? You know what I'm saying? Where was his art degree? Where was his engineering degree? The dude invented an airplane and a bicycle and a tank way back then. And you know what they did to him? Do you know what they did to Leonardo da Vinci? They put him in an insane asylum because they thought he was crazy. And now look, we have tanks, we have bicycles, we have parachutes, airplanes, all the stuff that he kind of invented on paper back then, obviously, you know what I mean? But where was his degrees, right? And now people with degrees study him.
Yeah.
Right? It's so stupid. But anyway, think for yourself, man. Yeah. So-called smart people and experts. And I can't stand that word expert.
Yeah.
People say, well, I'm an expert. Okay, you have nothing else to learn? No, I know everything. Well, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
If you're not constantly learning in your field and learning new things to better yourself in your community and bettering your culture, I'm going to go ahead and just say you're an idiot.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as an expert. I don't like that word.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then you got the people who think they're smart because they research on the internet. All their research is done on the internet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got that one person that, okay, so, you know, I've been reading this book. I've been studying. I've been working with people who do this. I've been learning from actual people and everything. And you got that one person, or it's not always one. It's a lot of people now.
Yeah.
Most places you go, you're talking, hey, well, I saw, you know, I did this, and what do people do? Start whipping that phone out and start Googling. Well, it says here, okay, who said that?
Yeah.
Who says that?
There's so many fake articles out there.
Exactly. Exactly. You can't justify that because you read it on the internet. It doesn't make it true.
Yeah.
Like, stop researching. I'm doing air quotes. Stop researching off the internet. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with looking something up and getting a guideline somewhere to start. But then go do the work.
Yeah.
Go learn from somebody who is doing it already. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Humble yourself and learn the right way.
Yeah.
You have a brain that works exactly like mine. It works exactly like pick a person. Our brains all work the same way. Mm-hmm. Some of us are a little bit more efficient at thinking, maybe. I don't know how to say that.
Yeah.
Some of us may not, you know, we see things differently. We use our brains differently, but the process is the same is what I'm getting at. You can use your brain to tell yourself what to do. You can use your brain to think and better your community around you, in your cultural space. Mm-hmm. Use your brain and your thought process to make that area better, to make that little bubble of your existence better, and then it'll grow. It's like dropping a stone in water, the ripples. Mm-hmm. It's all deep and, ooh, look at it spreading. You know, how many people have used that example?
Yeah.
Right? But it's true. Like, your actions ripple. There is a ripple effect. Mm-hmm. And if we can change our communities in our local cultures, I believe that's how we spread this. Hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
So, we did not discuss this topic.
Not one bit. Because not at all. I woke up this morning.
And your brain was awake.
Mush.
Oh,
it was mush. It was awake. But
well,
was
you did that this morning.
I did, yeah.
So, when you're telling me this, like when you're talking about that, how I told you last night how that girl from 4-H Girl Scouts
yes.
wants us to do some classes with the kids. That's what immediately made me think of that. Like talking about that and getting that those young minds
to think.
It's not
it's not about like Hitler's youth. Mm-hmm. How Hitler, he would tell people, I don't care about you. You're old. I want your kids.
Yeah.
If I can change your kids' minds to think the way I do, I have a whole generation that would just fall right in line. Mm-hmm. That's not what we're trying to accomplish. We're trying to make these kids, not make them, but inspire these kids to think. Mm-hmm. Like, look here. There are facts of life. You know, our culture nowadays would tell you, no, there's no state, you live your own truth. No, that's the stupidest thing.
Yeah.
Red is red, green is green, blue is blue. Up is up, down is down. And genders, there's only two.
Yeah.
You see, I didn't even rhyme just now. Did you pick up on that?
I didn't that time.
You're going to like that when you go back and listen to that. Yeah. Anyway, that'd be a good t-shirt.
Oh my gosh.
But anyway, so there are facts of life. Soil has life.
Mm-hmm.
Plants need certain things from that soil to grow. These are facts of life.
Yeah.
Okay. Weeds are not bad.
Mm.
This is a fact of life. Weeds are indicators of what your soil needs or has too much of or whatever. Weeds are indicators. They're there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need poison to kill this stuff. They're facts of life. And that's what we want to teach these kids is this is what a plant needs. This is what your soil needs for this plant to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to teach kids and adults. It's not just about kids, it's about adults. Because we heard so many people, I can't grow anything. We can teach you. We can help you.
Yeah.
And I don't care if you're 80 or 8. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I could teach you the same thing. So that's what we're doing. We're inspiring. We want to give people the facts. Soil needs life. Plants need that life in the soil to grow properly. Mm-hmm. Healthy. For a healthy plant. Not full of cancer. Right?
Yeah.
And so this, we want to teach these kids these facts of growing things and other things. You know, just starting with plants because it's easy to talk about. But give them that and say, hey, here, it's yours now. Mm. Think and do.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited to work with them.
Yeah. And usually, like, if I hear 4-H,
mm-hmm.
Future Farmers America.
Yeah.
But it's like where some of these leaders in these areas now are starting to wake up a little bit to like, okay, we need... You know, we need people to teach these kids
mm-hmm.
proper way of doing things. And that's what we need. We need people to humble themselves. Like I said, don't just, okay, well, I got kids under my leadership. I'm an adult. I've been around 35 years or however old you are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to already know all this. No, you don't.
Yeah.
Because there's no such thing as an expert. I will never call myself an expert.
Yeah.
I will never call myself a professional. It's because I'm always learning. I'm a student of nature.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a student of permaculture. I'm a student of microbiology. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Always learning.
Yeah.
And I always will. Because once you stop or you think you don't need to go any further, you have failed yourself and your community and everybody around you.
Mm-hmm.
You have failed your culture. You're a cultural dropout.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you are. You're poison. Poisoning the people around you. And unfortunately, the leaders in these areas, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, FFA, 4-H, that's how these people think.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a leader, so I already know, I've got everything I need to teach these kids. No, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not. Don't ever be so uppity and just, you know, humble yourself and realize that I may need somebody to come teach this because I don't know.
Yeah.
There's someone better than me.
Mm-hmm.
And I will do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
If there's something that somebody says, hey, what this, I know this much, but there's somebody else way better.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But yeah. We need to get there.
Yeah.
We need to, or we're all going to fail. We are failing.
Mm-hmm.
My verdict of all this is we are failing hard.
Yeah.
We're cultural dropouts right now. Mm. Failures. Anyway, let's define a word.
Okay.
I got it pulled up, but I haven't looked at it. What does riparian mean? How would you define riparian?
Mm.
I talk about this all the time.
I know you do. In my mind, it's like, an area that's untouched by man for nature to thrive.
Oh,
like okay. The wildlife, the animals, the bugs, the microbiology to just flourish on their own without man-made inputs.
Okay. I see it as a border.
Okay.
For like the edges, edge effect, border from one ecosystem to another. So the way I see it, the way I understand it, I've never looked it up, but the way I understand it in practical use is that border coming into another, right? One ecosystem bordering another. Mm-hmm. There's a strip in there, like somewhere in that border. And it's a riparian area. It could be like a pasture coming into the edge of a pond.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's got something to do with borders, because that's how I explain it. This is a riparian area, and it's the border edge effect. Oh, whoa, someone forgot to turn her phone down.
You.
I sure did. But anyway, that's how I see it. Yeah. So you think it's just an untouched area.
Yeah.
Like a natural untouched area.
Yeah.
And I kind of think the same way, but it's, I could create it more. Like this is a border, like my fence line. So I always tell people it's somewhat of a riparian area.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't spray it.
Mm-hmm.
That foot tall grass is like its own little ecosystem running down my fence lines.
Yeah.
Because I mow 6 foot, because that's what the deck of my mower is, inside the fence lines. I take the deck as high as it'll go, and I keep the fence lines mowed down.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that's what we use to move around in.
Yeah.
So let's see what it's defined. Riparian is an adjective of, on, or relating to the banks of a natural course of water.
Hmm.
Oh, get this. Of or pertaining to the bank of a river. Of or relating to the bank of a river or stream. So it's actually about water.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Hmm. Huh. Well, you were right about the edges.
Edge, yeah.
But
see,
edge that's of how, water.
Yeah, see, I was thinking the edge effect. I didn't know it had actually anything to do of just water.
Mm.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
But get this.
Mm.
So what did I tell y'all? Last summer, in the middle of summer, when it's 100 degrees out here, I'm in the middle of my pastures cutting the fence lines because I cut them about once a week. What did I see out there? In that area. In that so-called riparian area. What did I see? In the middle of my pastures, nowhere near water or ponds.
Oh, what was it?
Leopard frogs.
Yeah.
Water-loving frogs living in that little edge zone.
Yeah. Hmm.
So I was using that one wrong.
Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah. So I didn't know it was, I understood it as like an edge effect because the banks is the edge.
Yeah.
So it says right here, the banks of a natural course of water, bank of a river or stream. So banks are that perfect definition of edge effect.
Mm-hmm.
Got the land coming down to the water meeting right there. That's a perfect example of edge effect right there.
Yeah.
But riparian, I guess, only refers to that.
Hmm.
Huh, interesting.
Mm. Gosh.
Oh, man. What else we got?
We got the Ag and Art Tour coming up May 17th. Come see us.
Yeah, May 17th at the... We need to get an address, like an actual address.
I have one.
Now we can put it
hold
up.
On. No. I got it right here.
Oh, we got it accessible?
Yeah. Maybe.
Oh, geez.
No, it's right here.
Oh, geez.
Give me a second. 318 Wickman Street, Walterboro, South Carolina, 29488.
So you pronounce that Wickman?
Wickman?
I've always said it Wichman.
Everybody says Wickman.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not just me.
Wichman. Wickman.
Yeah, like the Wickman sandwich at the side street.
So it's Wichan, right?
Man.
Oh, Man, yeah. Wickman.
Mm-hmm.
What was it, 318?
318.
318 Wickman in Walterboro.
Yeah.
Is that the Artisans Center?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So was that May 17th?
May 17th. Saturday.
Saturday. That's also our grand opening.
Yeah, so it's Friday and Saturday. I think Friday's more of like a fun thing. I'm not sure exactly. Like, I know we're invited to it to come out and introduce ourselves, or I don't know exactly what. But Saturday is the actual tour.
Kiss some hands and shake some babies.
No, I don't shake no babies.
Oh yeah, it's backwards.
Yeah, Saturday is the actual tour where you can go around to all the other farms.
Yeah, it's not just in Walterboro. It's like, I guess they give you a map or whatever.
There's a I think it, this is all for Culloden County.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a handful of counties in the surrounding areas that have their own, mm-hmm. and they go throughout the whole state.
Yeah.
So.
So this kind of is like that. That one up in North Carolina I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we heard about it a couple years ago, and I never heard anything else about it.
Mm-hmm.
I never really, wasn't really paying attention. So that kind of, man, that kind of is what they were doing up there.
Yeah.
But it's also art related too.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. all right, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
I'm interested to be a part of it this mm-hmm. time and see.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dana keeps introducing us to the upper crust of Walterboro.
Yeah. City councilmen. City members. Councilmen.
I finally met officially the director of tourism, right?
Yeah.
This morning. Mm-hmm. How old do you think she is?
Maybe pushing 30.
I like that though. Yeah. Her. She's young. You got Amelia, 28.
Yeah.
That other guy we met this morning.
Yeah.
He's on city council. He's pretty young, 30s, mm-hmm. early 30s maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's some young blood. But I wonder how many of these people are kind of like related or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. raised for that position. Because they ain't no good. They ain't no good either.
Yeah.
We need people to stand up and be like, you know what? It sucks. I'm going to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
But then they keep saying, oh, if you want to get elected mayor, you have to be on city council. Why?
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to run the city, I understand that, but that's what your job's for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because anybody can be president.
Yeah.
Look at the moron we got now. He's never a politician.
Yeah.
He's a, what do you call it? A land developer, a real estate guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine because you surround yourself by people, your cabinet, that tells you the ins and outs of things. Mm-hmm. And then it's your job to be the final say on what decisions to make.
Yeah.
And then based on the health of your city after that, you know if you did a good job or not.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Because most people aren't there for the right reasons. They're there so you have a big fat retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
I'm just being honest. Anyway. Ugh.
Tired sitting, aren't you?
I am. And this chair sucks. My truck seat is so much more comfortable than this chair.
Yeah.
Thankfully, because I sat in it a long time.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got for my chaotic welcome back episode.
Yeah. Gosh.
All right. What else you got? You got anything? It's coming up. What's the rest of the week? Today's Wednesday?
Yeah.
We got the rest of the week. Might move cows tomorrow, possibly.
Yeah. Getting pigs Wednesday. Today's Wednesday. Friday.
Friday, pigs. Getting pigs, feeder pigs.
Yep. Community garden Saturday. Community
garden Saturday. Church on Sunday.
Church on Sunday. What else? Bees got pushed back a week.
Yep, thankfully. Thankfully. Oh, geez.
We're not ready for bees yet.
Yeah, bees in another week and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, trying to get it.
Did she say why when she called?
No.
I wonder why. I wonder if they're struggling.
I don't know.
I hope not.
I hope not either. That'd be sad.
Yeah.
I don't want bees to die.
No.
Yep. No.
I can't wait to get bees out of the garden and educate people about that because so many people are scared to death of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I love when people say something about like that, but you know, there's honeybees been flying around you the whole time I've been talking.
Yeah.
Why have they not stung you?
Yeah.
Because some people are convinced that the bugs wake up and look for someone to kill.
Mm.
Like I'm coming to bite you. I'm coming to sting you.
Yeah.
Snakes same way. But no.
Yeah.
I saw when I was leaving, what day was that? I think it was Friday. I was going over to the office or somewhere I was going to get air in the tires in the stock trailer, make sure all the air was good. There was a big old black snake right by the, where we got Doug put the mulch in that hole out there.
Yeah.
It was about 3 foot long and his head sticking up above the clover watching me. Most people would have killed it or ran it off. I just kept rolling. Like, do your thing, Brett.
Yeah.
Wasn't bothering anything.
Yep.
He was going away from the farm, actually. He's going into the pasture.
Hmm.
Probably going to go to my not riparian area and eat a mouse.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yep.
So snakes are good too.
Yeah.
Now, rattlesnakes, there's a lot of them out here.
Yeah.
And if I see one, that's a problem because that's a hard snake to find.
Yeah.
And if I see one, it's usually somewhere I don't want it to be. Mm-hmm. I will kill a rattlesnake.
Yeah.
And a black widow. If a black widow is hanging out my barn somewhere, it's got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just a matter of time for somebody reaches into that corner or something, chasing a ball. The kids are playing and chase the ball, and that thing bites one of them, and I'm going to have to kill every black widow on the planet.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's, burn it down.
Yeah. Burn the barn down, set it on fire. But yeah, that's, other than that, I don't bother things.
Yeah.
Unless they bother me. Now I give it a little two-piece, 1-2.
Hmm.
Fisticuffs.
Yeah.
You ever went fisticuffs with a snake?
No.
I have.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Oh, man. Anyway, how long have you been on here?
Hour 20.
Oh! Stretching. Stretching noises.
All right.
ASMR. I'm going to do an ASMR episode one day. Just me up here.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. What kind of noises I can make?
Mm.
Like, I can't do it anymore because my beard... Yeah, I can't do that. Amir's been, he's like a master at making noises.
Oh, gosh. He can make some noises.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Anyway. Mm. It's like the running water when he does is pretty cool. It sounds like running, like babbling brook water. Yeah. Yeah, he was going to be on here with us as a guest, and he didn't want to. He backed out last second.
Yep.
He's a fun little guy to talk to. He'll be on here one day.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, are we going to the coffee shop?
If we have time.
What time it is? 2:45.
Nope.
We don't have time.
Unless we went straight to town with the dog again.
I don't even care.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's get out of here then.
All right.
Coming to see you, Jessie.
I told her we might.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She knows. She's looking. She's like, he'll be here.
Yeah. Okay, let's go.
She already have her stuff waiting on us.
Yes, let's go.
We need to get her to get Life 360. Text you and you can watch my location, have it ready. Like, no, I'm not that uppity. I'm not uppity at all.
I'm not uppity.
I'm not an uppity person.
No, bruh.
I don't like to be served.
Oh my gosh.
I'll get back there and help her make my coffee.
Yeah.
Like, why don't you go sit down? I'm gonna pour this coffee.
I got this.
Like, what do you want?
Yeah.
What do you want? I wonder what she likes. I see her drinking a big old
white frigid chocolate.
Does she like white
frigid
chocolate?
She likes white. Well, when she needs an emotional support drink. We talked about that. This is more. She didn't call it that, but that's how I'm.
Feel good
interpreting.
Drink.
Yeah. There you go.
That's what I might get.
White mocha?
No.
Oh,
just something feel like good? Yeah, just something cold and tastes good and splash some coffee in there for me. All right. Well, I hope I made some people angry. Because you know what? Maybe they'll think about some things.
Yeah.
I hope I tick some people off. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Gosh. Anyway,
no.
Don't
But seriously,
angry.
Use your brain.
Yeah.
You are a highly intelligent, created being designed to use your noodle.
Yep.
Use it.
Yep.
And better your community. We can all have a better culture.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Anyway.
Let's go.
It's good to be back.
It's good to have you back.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Man, it was a long drive.
Gosh. Anyway. His brain's not braining no more.
So we'll talk about something cool next week. Maybe. We'll see. See what happens.
Yep.
See what happens. And we'll talk about some stuff. Define a word. Monica will have a garden tip.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe last minute. It's always last minute.
Always.
Don't let her fool you.
I pulled that one pretty good out of my hat now.
Anyway. Yeah. All right. See y'all next week. Thanks for listening. And I'm going to forget our outro because I haven't said it.
Keep your powder dry.
And your Bible's close.
Bye.
Peace out.